The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Jake Brown, I'm back in business here. Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. It felt like a year since I've been in this majestic studio here with these headphones that I just can't get on properly. All right, there we go. Give me a call at 631-888-8811. This entire hour I will be taking your calls. It has been a long time since I've been behind these mics. I think it's been September since the last time I was here. It's good to be back. Jake Brown at Jake Brown Radio. You can follow us at Sports Talk 1240. Make sure you check out my show weekly on CBS Radio's Play.it network. Got to give it a plug. Brown and Scoop. Shout out to Scoop B, my co-host. Brandon Robinson, weekly shows, daily interviews on Play.it/Brown and Scoop and subscribe on iTunes. This week, actually, I'll let the cat out the bag. It looks like it is confirmed. We'll see, though. It might get moved. We will have J.R. Smith, the former Nick, on the show. We'll see who he's giving the pipe to next. Well, who knows? Hopefully no one anymore. But J.R. Smith this week, a couple other ones, a couple of big ones. So stay tuned on that at Brown and Scoop. But a lot to get into today, and I'm excited to be guest-free. I mean, there's people. Sure, I could get somebody on. But why, when you could hear this charming voice for a whole 56 more minutes? And hopefully yours. That's 631-888-8811. And, of course, if you're tuned in on the computer, it's probably only working on your PC. So what you're going to want to do if you have a Mac is go to the TuneIn Radio app, download it, and you'll find us there. So check out the TuneIn Radio app. A lot to get into. A wild playoff weekend here in the divisional round. You finally have the matchup set for the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship will both take place, next Sunday. And thank God, because Francesicon is Saturday. So you know I have to be there. You know what happened. The Seahawks, what did they do today? They just came back from a 31-0 deficit, made it 31-24 and lose. I'll get into that in a little bit and what pissed me off about that game. The Broncos get by the Steelers. A pedestrian effort from Peyton Manning, nothing special. The defense dominates, an elite defense in Denver. They do it at home, and they get the job done against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were missing Antonio Brown, who were missing D'Angelo Williams. Obviously, all season, essentially, have been missing Le'Veon Bell. And Big Ben, playing with two torn ligaments in his throwing shoulder, finds a way to play pretty well, but just not good enough. So the AFC matchup, the Broncos will take on who? The New England Patriots. And the win over the Kansas City Chiefs in an effort where Andy Reid, I don't know if he was distracted once again by the pizza menus, if he was deciding between sausage and pepperoni or mushroom, add some chicken parm on there. What was going on? But the Chiefs' offense was moving as slow as molasses. You felt like Jared Lorenzen was the quarterback. They were moving so slow. They lose to the Patriots 27-20. And the game that I want to start this whole show off with is the one that kind of game that really reminds people like me, like Mike Francesa, like a Joe and Evan, like whoever it is behind the mic, why they got into this industry. Because that's the kind of game that you live for as a sports fan. And if you didn't watch it, I really feel bad for you. Please go rewatch it. My partner, Brandon Robinson, wants to rip me apart for not seeing Coming to America. I will try to watch it tomorrow night with a day off on Martin Luther King Day. Shout out to Martin Luther King Jr. tomorrow, Martin Luther King Day. Thank you also for the day off work, because usually I do have work. So thank you for that. But he likes to make fun of me for that. If you did not watch the Green Bay Packers and the Arizona Cardinals Saturday and you're a sports fan, I'm concerned. Go rewatch it, because there's going to be a DVD on it. The game was just bonkers in every way you can explain it. Let's break it down here. First of all, Aaron Rodgers playing without Randall Cobb for the whole second half. He got hurt in the first half. He's playing without Devontae Adams. He's obviously playing without Jordy Nelson, who's been out all year with that torn ACL. He's playing with a bunch of no-names, including Jeff Janis. You're saying, Jake, who is this guy? Who are you talking about, Jeff Janis? Are you talking about the six-foot wide receiver who had two catches all regular season? Is that the Jeff Janis? You're not talking about Janis Joplin, right? This isn't 1974. No, this is Jeff Janis, 2016. Happy New Year, of course. It's been a while. But Jeff Janis reels in a 41-yard catch. It was really 55 because Aaron Rodgers goes back on his back foot, and this is where the shenanigans begin in this game. I mean, the shenanigans were the entire game, but where in the words of Flo Rida, it was going down for real is when this play went down. It was when on his back foot, Aaron Rodgers with an Eli Manning-esque play, avoids sacks, fires it down the field. There's only one man down the center of the field. And he said after the game he didn't know who was there. He was just trying to get rid of it. He finds Jeff Janis, who had five more catches in this game than he had all regular season, for one of the great catches. He comes down, bobbles it, but pulls it in without it hitting the ground. And the Packers, in magical fashion, tie the game to end regulation. My headphones almost just fell off just because of the excitement trying to relive that game. And what was crazy about that, folks, the play prior, you had an illegal formation with about 13 seconds or something. No 10-second runoff happened, which was strange there. 5 seconds left, Rodgers does that. So the game goes to overtime, and just when you, and by the way, leading up to that, there was just some horrible officiating on both sides. Just a lot of Carson Palmer did not play his best. You just had all the twists and turns of the game that reminded you of the time that they played in the 2009 wild card game where Arizona routed Green Bay. And by routed, I mean a 51-45 win in overtime. That kind of rout was an offensive showdown. This game was not. The final score was 26-20. The Cardinals did prevail. But oh my. My, G. Willikers. The Cardinals prevail. But how do they do it? It goes into overtime. And what happens? What happens? The coin flip. Now, let me defend the ref about this. I have flipped a coin before, and it isn't always the easiest thing. And I have not done it in conditions that are warm. I was just reminded that by myself that the game was in Arizona. I was going to defend him for being in the cold. The game was not in Denver. The game was in Arizona. So it was warm. So there's not much of an excuse. The coin does not flip. And the rule book states, folks, the ref didn't need to reflip it. When the coin didn't flip the first time, he didn't need to reflip it. But he has the option to. So he flips it. Aaron Rodgers is looking like, that didn't flip, that didn't flip. He's like, oh, my bad. The coin to flip. And Arizona's like, what? Because they would have had the ball. They were shocked by just what went down. And luckily, for their sake, they get it anyway. But just bizarre. The ref had the choice to reflip it. He reflips it. And first play, what happens? Carson Palmer does his best Eli Manning impression. Avoids a sack. Finds Larry Fitzgerald, the newest slot receiver, Larry Fitzgerald. 75 yards, gets to the 5. I mean, what a play by Carson Palmer. And we have a call. I'll get to you in a second, Luke, in Astoria. But what a play by Carson Palmer to somehow evade a sack. Remember, Carson Palmer was having a very mediocre, at best, football game. Very mediocre. And he just found all the will in the world to find Larry Fitzgerald in that play. Reminds you of Eli to Tyree a little bit. Eli's was a little bit better, definitely a little bit better. But just a memorable play, and we were laughing at my house and with the guy on the line right now. We'll pretend I don't know him. it is Luke, 1 second. But we were arguing, Luke and Andy, about a triple option. A triple option play to end a football game. He finds Fitzgerald on a Brett Favre-looking shovel pass. Fitzgerald, 80 yards of the drive come from him. They go from the 20 to the end zone and win it. A lot more to get into, but first, we are taking your calls here at 631-888-888. 88.11 Sports Talk 1240 with Jake Brown. We have Luke in Astoria on the line right now. Luke, good evening. How you doing?
Jake Brown, what's going on, brother?
I'm doing pretty well. How you doing tonight? Are you staying warm?
I'm doing fantastic. But what I got to talk to you about,
yes.
And I just walked in last, so I'm sorry if you may have touched on that. But I got to talk to you about very questionable coaching decisions in yesterday's games. Mm-hmm. Two in particular. One, I think the clock, Kansas City's clock management.
Yeah.
On their final drive, I think it was absolutely atrocious because they put themselves in a situation where they needed to get – they had only three downs to make stops. And they got one first down. That game was over. They killed probably – I mean, when we were watching that game together, I would say maybe 4 minutes of time. I mean, that was terrible. And mm-hmm. also, in the Arizona game, on their last drive when you need to run out the clock
mm-hmm.
and win this game – you have the Cardinals throwing for first downs, unable mm-hmm. to stop the clock until the 2 minute warning, and they gave Aaron Rodgers all the extra time he needed to throw the Hail Mary. So I'm gonna hang up. I'm just wanna hear what you gotta say. Jake, great show. Enjoy. I'll see you in a bit.
Thank you, Luke, for the call. And yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I did address it a little bit. I said Andy Reid was looking at a pizza menu, hopefully from Amore's, and figuring out, do I want sausage and pepperoni? Do I want bacon? He forgot that the clock was actually moving that entire quarter. I mean, Andy Reid's sitting there like an old fart, and I like Andy Reid. I mean, you put partial blame on Andy Reid, and then you put partial blame on Alex Smith. The quarterback should be the guy moving, but Andy Reid should be yelling, saying, go, go. And not only that, Luke, the use of the timeouts this entire weekend by every team was just mind-blowing. I mean, at this point, if I'm a coach, I'd rather take the 5-yard delay a game than lose these timeouts. Look at Seattle today. If they had those timeouts late in that game, they could potentially win. And another coaching move in that Seattle game I was worried about, why on 4th and 5? Why on 4th and 5 in the first half are the Seattle Seahawks going for it? And Luke, who just called, knows that in a game like Madden, I'll go for it there, obviously. But you want to put points on the board. You want to make that 31-3. Sure, you're saying, what's the difference, Jake? What's the difference? Look at what the damn difference would have been if they kicked the field goal there. You can also look at the 55-yard miss, but hey, I'm not going to fault a kicker for missing a 55-yard kish when Blair Walsh is missing a 27-yard at the end of the Vikings season and hurt many Vikings fans' heart. Including Greg Giannotti, which we're fine with that. But it's funny how bad the coaching really was this weekend. I mean, the coaching, just the use of the timeouts, the no sense of urgency that we saw. And you're right, you saw it in the Chiefs Packers game as well. The Packers Cardinals game as well. And then another coaching blunder, folks, today. What's Pittsburgh doing from a 50-yard field goal, not going for it? I understand there's wins in Denver. But trust your kicker to put some points on the board. I know he's a rookie kicker, but he was doing good so far in the game. He was nailing them. You got to kick the field goal there. You don't punt in that situation. And they could have went for a touchdown for the win. Instead, they lose. The Seahawks should have went for the field goal first half. They don't. The end of the game, no urgency, terrible time management. Folks, why are the Seahawks even going for the touchdown? When there was 1:45 left, the Seahawks are in field goal position. You have to go for the field goal there because they had a timeout. So if they don't recover that onside kick, which was, by the way, a really good one, didn't get it, but a really good onside kick, you still have a chance to at least get the ball back with 20, 30 seconds. Russell Wilson's magic, you never know. But then you put yourself in a position where you have to recover the onside kick or you lose. That blew my mind. It's hard to fathom. And Pete Carroll had a horrible coach first half. He had the nice little punt, the fake punt and the run, which you had an inkling it was coming because you saw that punt on 4th and 2. You're like, something fishy's going on. So you kind of knew that. But a poorly coached game, a poorly played game. And don't give me the BS excuse, oh, West Coast team, the East Coast team, it's early morning for them. Wake your ass up. You're in the NFL. You're getting paid millions of dollars. I don't want to hear the excuse that it's too early for you guys. I mean, people travel all the time. My dad, who might be listening, travels every week out of the country. It's different because he ain't playing football. He's napping most of the evening or wherever there's a couch. But, I mean, don't make the excuse that you're going from West Coast to East Coast and it was too early for you to wake up, because I'm not going to buy that. So let's transition into that game. It was 31-0. The major key that I had was the 4th and 5 in the second quarter, not kicking the field goal. You missed the 55-yard field goal, and then go for it for that field goal instead of the touchdown. Because then you don't have to worry as much about the onside kick, because if your D makes another stop, you had to shut them out the whole half, you have a chance in that spot. So the Panthers find a way again, and I've doubted them all year. Now I got to say, I got to show them love, because this team is for real. And, of course, they have been. But, again, on Brown and Scoop, on Play.it and iTunes, I picked Seattle. I picked Seattle to win this game. And the Panthers get the job done at home in front of their fans. It's bow time. I'm sure they're celebrating with tons of Bojangles right now down in North and South Carolina. I've had my Chick-fil-A craze now that it's back open. They had some health violations, but they're back in business. So the Panthers move on. We get 1-2 in the NFC thanks to the Cardinals' just mind-blowing win. I mean, my heart was racing. I didn't care about which team. We were watching. I was just jumping. I mean, that Hail Mary, I tweeted, second Hail Mary of the season, ? Will it happen? And it did. So just a wild game all around. And the coin flip and the missed calls and the crazy catches. It was just so much that went on that game that remind you why you got into this industry. That reminds you why I love talking to some of the guys that I talked. Meeting Darrell Revis for me end of December was tremendous. And it reminds you why you got into this, because you love those kind of moments. And that was one of those moments where you're saying, I'm in this. I'm in this for the long run. And the Cardinals will play the Carolina Panthers in Carolina next Sunday. You have a doubleheader in that game. Remember, the Cardinals did beat them in overtime, the Packers, that is, in that wild card game. They routed Green Bay 3 weeks ago, 38-8. So Arizona just owning Green Bay, despite this game getting interesting down the stretch. And you just got to credit Aaron Rodgers doing it without Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, James Jones, who barely was made a presence felt. And I don't know why James Jones still wears a hoodie, because that could easily be used as be easily pulled down. It's an easy tackle. That game was just bonkers. And what also this playoff run is reminding you is that if the New York Jets just made the playoffs and beat Rex Ryan, this Jets team could have beat any of these teams. And I'm not just saying that because I root for them. And I'm actually rocking a Darrell Revis shirt under this gray sweatshirt right now, sportstalk1240.com/webcam, if you want to watch and listen. But the Jets, tell me I'm wrong, the Jets would have made a run. I'm not going to say they're better than all these teams, but they ain't worse. They ain't worse. They would have played Denver close. And it makes you think, Peyton Manning today, it's hard to watch him like this. But they still win. They still go out and win 23-16. And I have confidence that the Jets would have beat a banged-up Pittsburgh team with no D'Angelo Williams, with no Antonio Brown. I really would have had confidence in that. And Peyton Manning gets the job done. And could we say this is it? Could we say finally that this is the last Brady Manning? We might be able to at this point. This could be it. Brady Manning 17 for a trip to Super Bowl 50 on the line. Buckle up. Bless up. You know, Brady Manning 17 would be yet another one. and business is booming between the two. So I hope if you didn't understand those references, you're probably a little bit older than my group of people in the 24 range. But if you don't, I understand. But it is DJ Khaled. Shout out DJ Khaled. 25, by the way, on February 5th. So if you want to send the presents, shoot me a text, shoot me a message. You could get a bottle of apple Ciroc. You could get me some money. I'll say it here because it's almost official. But it looks like I am going to Toronto to cover the NBA All-Star Weekend with CBS. Brown and Scoop in the building. Not official yet, but in the works. Brown and Scoop, CBS, Toronto. It's going down for real. That's the first time Flo Rida has got two shout-outs by one radio host in one radio show in the history of America. That is going to happen. Never been to Toronto, so I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully I didn't just jinx it and the NBA declines our credentials. But it looks like it is happening. So the party is going down. Jake Brown, Brandon Robinson in the building, in the TRONTO DRAKE. That's me. You know how the story go. Pull up Range Rover, yo chick, want to row, and I play myself in the stereo. Looking forward to that. We'll talk NBA in the second half of the show. We'll get to Yoenis Cespedes, and I know people want to talk about that and the future of Yoenis Cespedes in potentially a New York Mets uniform. And I know my guy Brian Schnee was tweeting me. I hope he's listening because I'd like to talk with Mr. Schnee. He's doing big things out in Oregon on TV, and it looks like we have a caller, Slugger, in Nashville, calling in a Sports Talk 1240 on AM 1240 WGBB with Jake Brown. Slugger, what's up?
Hey, Jake, how are you? Just got a question about the Peyton Manning day. Even though you said he was a bit pedestrian, his team dropped three of his balls right in the hand. They dropped three balls. Two of them were on third down. One was on fourth down. So they really didn't have a good game as receivers. But I've got to say, he's stepping up in the next level. I'd like to get your thoughts around Peyton, because he couldn't throw the ball really beyond 20 to 25 yards today. And without their defense doing what they did, Denver was a shell of a team. So where are they going to fit against the Patriots, and do they really have a chance against the Patriots?
Well, thank you, Slugger, from Louisville. I do think they do, and here's why. Because elite defenses win championships. What Peyton Manning does is he avoids the big mistake. You notice he didn't turn the ball over today, and that's what they need him to do. That's what the Jets ask a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick to do. Don't make mistakes. Our defense will get the job done, and you make big plays when you need to. And that's what Peyton Manning did. He made that big, long drive when they needed to get the touchdown and win the game. They're in trouble. There's no doubt about it. Folks, this matchup between the Patriots and Broncos, you might label it as Manning-Brady, but that's not what the matchup is to watch for in this game. And here's why. Because Tom Brady is light years ahead of Peyton Manning right now. And that's not even a debate. Tom Brady is on another level than Peyton Manning right now. And Peyton Manning's just got to keep his team in the game and let the defense do what it does best. And they're going to have to force turnovers. And we know how to beat Tom Brady, Slugger. We know how to do it. You attack him. That's how the Giants won their two Super Bowls. They attacked Tom Brady. And the Broncos do that. They attack him, and they have that good secondary. So the key for the Broncos to get by the Patriots is to put pressure on Tom Brady, keep running the football. You saw a pretty solid 1-2 punch of C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman today. You saw that. They had a solid game together, combining for 110 yards on 31 carries. Peyton Manning, you know what? He had 16 incompletions. But you look at the number 0 next to interceptions. You look at the number 0 next to fumbles. He had one, but he recovered it. And that's the key number we have to look for. He'll get the job done enough to get it done for his team, as we've seen all year. Peyton Manning is having by far the worst year of his career, and it's not even close. But what Peyton Manning has done is kept his team in games and avoided the big mistake. And you're going to say, yeah, regular season, he made a lot of mistakes. But he made up for that by making big plays when it counted, by making that big throw on third down, by making that big deep bomb to get it done. He's not getting those bomb throws done anymore because he was overthrowing guys. Him and Big Ben were both overthrowing their wide receivers. But he's got the talent with Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, that 1-2 punch that they have. Flip-flop them either way. You could call Sanders Robin like he calls himself. You call Thomas Robin. Either way, that's a good 1-2 punch with Virgil Green, your tight end, and Anderson and Hillman in the backfield. They got the talent all around to beat the New England Patriots. And what the Patriots need to do, they got to go after Tom Brady. I mean, they have to go after Peyton Manning, excuse me. They need to find Rob Gronkowski. Go down the middle of the field, keep finding Gronkowski, because let's be honest, folks, Rob Gronkowski is the best tight end in the history of the NFL. And he's got a whole second half of his career to go. I mean, if this guy stayed healthy a little bit more, his numbers would be just top five ever. He's already approaching that territory. In terms of touchdowns, he's already in the top 10 ever. So Rob Gronkowski is showing us that there's no better tight end in the game. I'm sorry, Tony Gonzalez. Move over. Move over, Tony. Move over, Tony G. The funk's on me, Bob. Keep that funk alive. It's all about Rob Gronkowski right now, the Gronk Show. And that's what the Patriots are going to have to do. And I'm really looking forward to that game, Patriots and the Broncos for the AFC. My pick, it's going with the Broncos. And I've rode with them most of the year, I believe. I'm trying to think who was my preseason Super Bowl pick. I think I said the Patriots. I might have said the Patriots. I'm rolling with the Broncos. Here's one, because their defense. Two, because my guy Vegas Dave, who I was talking to this week, me and him were texting about the game and what he thinks and the money he's got on the line. And I have not put money on this because these playoffs are just, you can't bet on these because it's a flip of a coin. And who knows if it's going to flip anymore after watching the Cardinals Packers flip. I'm picking the Broncos because Vegas Dave predicted them from the start. He also picked the Royals. This guy's a genius when it comes to picks. Shout out to Vegas Dave. Check out his interview on Brown & Scoop, cbsloc.al/Vegas Dave. I got to rock with the defense. And you're saying, Jake, you're a Patriots hater, blah, blah, blah. I got to rock with the good defense because Peyton Manning is playing well enough to make sure that the defense gets it done. And if they just force turnovers, it's a wrap. So they're going to come with a game plan of let Brady have as little time as possible and hope that you get to him. And remember, it's in Denver. Home field, all four home teams won today. So home field is huge. It's humongous in the playoffs right now. It's just a major difference. So I'm taking the Broncos in the AFC. In the NFC, I'm taking the Arizona Cardinals. I know the game's in Carolina, and I'm going to look like an idiot here because I've picked against the Panthers all year long. And what am I doing? But this Cardinals team, I think it's just too complete. And Carson Palmer didn't even play well, and they won in magical fashion. So I think if Carson Palmer plays a step better, and we see the MVP like Carson Palmer in the regular season, I think that team all around is one of the best teams on paper. I think Larry Fitzgerald looks young again. He's been tremendous. So before we go to break, I got to take the Arizona Cardinals on the road in Carolina because I just think they're too all-around good for the Panthers, and I think the Panthers are starting to let up in second half of games when they have the lead. So they need to be a little bit more controlled. We saw it against the Giants. We saw it today. The Panthers have got to be in control of the second half because it hasn't been good from what we've seen. So I'm taking the Broncos over the Patriots. I'm taking the Cardinals over the Carolina Panthers, and I'm taking a Broncos-Cardinals Super Bowl, and I'm going with Peyton to win it in his last hurrah. Retire on top. Coming up in the second half of the show here on Sports Talk 1240, Jake Brown rolling with you, the Mets, and Yoenis Cespedes. Who's in on him? Who's out on him? Where will he end up? Are the Mets losing their minds for them not to get him? And also, we'll talk about the Giants and the McAdoo era. A suit four sizes too big, but 4 years, was it too much? We'll talk Jets, Giants, and also Knicks, 2.5 out of the playoffs. The Nets are rebuilding. Cespedes, Knicks, Nets, Jets, Giants, and your calls here on Sports Talk 1240 with Jake Brown. Next.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines, also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
I'm back, everyone. Jake Brown, Sports Talk 1240, Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, at Jake Brown Radio on Twitter. Sports Talk 1240, sportstalk1240.com/webcam. You can watch. I don't know if the audio works on there. And I got to hate on Rob for not getting that damn camera to work. But whatever. Rob Kowal, the man of the hour. A lot to do here in the second half. Again, Jake Brown Radio, Sports Talk 1240. Tweet at me. I'll answer your tweets live on the air. Check out Brown and Scoop every day, daily interviews. J.R. Smith on the show this week, at Brown and Scoop, play.it/Brown and Scoop, and iTunes. We got to talk Mets, Knicks, Nets. There's so much to do here in the second half. And thanks to Slugger for calling in. Thanks for Luke to calling in. If you want to call, you know the number, 631-888-8811. That's 631-888-8811. That might have been really confusing that second way. But if you got it, give me a call. I'm taking your calls the whole way. Again, I told you the Super Bowl. I like the Broncos, Cardinals. I like the Broncos to win. I think Peyton Manning is going to go out on top. I like that defense. And let's just hope he just doesn't turn the ball over and they'll find ways to win. It's going to be an ugly trip there. I mean, we're talking about really ugly games. But let's hope that he does indeed get it done. So we'll see what happens next week, the AFC-NFC Championships. Maybe we'll get into more of that later. But let's talk Mets and Cespedes. The report now is that Yoenis Cespedes may be close to signing a contract for 2016. They're not sure where. The Mets, White Sox, and Braves are the three teams interested, and the Angels and Tigers are also in the running. And Peter Gammon said today, watch the Astros on Cespedes. So we'll see there. And here's the thing, folks. When the Mets got Yoenis Cespedes, their season changed, and they became contenders for the first time in a decade. When you get rid of that hole in the lineup and what he does, you're talking about a difference between a World Series contender and a team that's on the edge of making the playoffs. And honestly, I think the Mets are a team right now on the edge of making the playoffs. And I think Yoenis Cespedes makes them a team that's a favorite to win the World Series, at least one of the three top teams in baseball to win a World Series. That's the difference we're talking with Yoenis Cespedes. Now, the Orioles went out and gave him 6 years, $90 million. 5 years, $90 million. The Orioles then went out and signed Chris Davis to the $151 million deal, and now they basically say goodbye to Cespedes. It doesn't seem like he's going to the Orioles. So now the thing is the Mets are cheap. The Mets don't want to offer past a year. And it comes to a point where you say to the Wilpons, what the F are you doing? See, I held myself from cursing there. I'm used to the podcast lately where I could let it all out. This is the PG portion of the Jake Brown on-air experience. I should just call this the Jake Brown Show. It has a nice ring. If you like it, then you better put a ring on it is what Beyonce told me, so I'm going to put the ring on it, the Jake Brown Show, here at Sports Talk 1240. On AM 1240 WGBB, you have to offer him something. For the Mets not to even give him an offer just blows your mind. I mean, mind blown. Throw him 2 years, 45. And honestly, I think Cespedes would take a short deal with the Mets because he loves it here. He loves the spotlight. He loves the New York nightlife. Castros and Cubanos. He's got everyone here. He's Hollywood in New York. I mean, he's the man here, and the fans love him. I mean, you can look at what he did in the World Series. The guy was playing hurt. I mean, Yoenis Cespedes was hurt in that World Series, and we're not talking about like an easy injury. I mean, the guy could barely walk. You were worried, and the hand injury. You were worried, can he swing? And he wasn't great, but he got the Mets there, and I'll remember that moment, man. In that first round, when he hit that three-run homer right near me where I was sitting in left field in that first round of the playoffs that put the icing on the cake for the Mets to take the 2-1 series lead over the Dodgers. And, oh, baby, did that feel good. I mean, that I have video of that on my phone. That place was rocking, Citi Field. Oh, my goodness. And those moments need to come back. So here's if I'm the Mets front office, and we're wishing our best to Sandy Alderson, of course, and he obviously diagnosed with cancer, so we hope all is well with him. But whoever's managing him is John Rico, the Wilpons. Offer him something. Here's what I do. At least offer him 1 year's $22 to $25 million range, because that's what he honestly deserves a year. And I'm a big guy of, oh, this guy is overpaid, blah, blah, blah. I think $18 million for Yoenis Cespedes, honestly, is underpaid. And it sounds crazy when I'm saying it, but I think that kind of money a year is underpaid for a guy who makes that big of an impact on a lineup. And we're not just talking numbers and RBIs and homers and average and what he does. Just the presence in the lineup and how they pitch to everyone else in the lineup changes when Yoenis Cespedes is in there. We saw that. We saw guys get better because of him. Guys get more pitches because of him. We saw Daniel Murphy become Mr. October because of him. So there's a big impact there. And the Mets want to argue this. They want to say, we don't trust him to play all year in center field. Don't give me that trash. If that's the case, here's what you do. Anytime a lefty pitches, you put him in left field, and you put Juan Lagares in center when there's a lefty, and you sit Conforto versus lefties. Versus righties, you play Cespedes in center, you play Conforto in left. And then you have Deaza as a utility guy, and that's what he is. I mean, they want Lagares and Deaza to be everyday players. What are you, out of your minds? You're out of your mind. You're out of your freaking minds. If Deaza and Lagares are the everyday outfielders for the Mets, they're a hinge playoff team. They're on the border. That's what they are. Don't be stupid. So Cespedes immediately turns his team into a major contender. Yoenis Cespedes is a major key to the Mets World Series chances. And I guarantee you, if they get him, business is booming at Citi Field. I mean, they're selling tickets. Business is booming. So ride the journey with me to more success and go and sign you an assessment, please. Please do it. Again, for the older listeners out there, that is a DJ Khaled reference. He is a Snapchat legend. And if you have Snapchat and don't follow him, check yourself before you wreck yourself. So please go sign him. And Todd Ricketts, the Cubs owner, calling Mets fans obnoxious. I'm sorry you're cranky because you haven't won since freaking 1908. I'm sorry that we swept your ass out the building. But shut your mouth. I mean, in honor of J.R. Smith on Brown and Scoop this week, shut your pipe. Shut your pipe hole. I mean, calling Mets fans obnoxious? Come on, man. Come on. I mean, that was funny to me that he called Mets fans obnoxious. They're going to be in the race for a World Series, the Cubs, this year, and it's going to be interesting. If Cespedes comes back, I think it's Mets-Cubs again. I really think that's the future of the National League. So just go get him and go get a reliever. It's like every time you read a story about the Mets, it's like they're not willing to offer this guy more than a one-year deal. That's what it seems, and that's the same thing with relievers. They're not willing to offer guys more than a year at this point. And there's guys out there, like a Bastardo. I'm glad they brought Jerry Blevins back. There's guys out there, maybe Clipper, Tommy Hunter. I mean, there's names out there who are available that they can go after and get. The question is, will they get them? So they need a reliever. Honestly, preferably a lefty because I'm not a Josh Edgman fan. And Cespedes. If they don't get Cespedes, Jay Bruce is on the market. I honestly get Jay Bruce at this point. If it's not Zach Wheeler, you have to give up. If you could maybe give up a Nimmo and a Montero, say, I go get Jay Bruce. I know he's got his problems. He's not great defensively, not a huge hitter for average, but he hits bombs. He hits homers, and that's the bat you need in the lineup. So I don't want Jim Lagares. Let me know if you disagree. 631-888-8811 is the number to – let me know if you disagree. 631-888-8811 is the number to call here on Sports Talk 1240 on AM 1240 WGBB. Jake Brown here with you live from the West of Babylon Studios. Happy Martin Luther King Day weekend. It's been a while. I haven't been here since September. But it's always good to come back here to the old stomping grounds. I've been on this station since 2012. I'm a seasoned vet on the WGBB airwaves. And call in to predict when my last show will be here. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But there will be moves made in 2016. So stay tuned at Jake Brown Radio on Twitter. So the Mets need to get Yoenis Cespedes back. The Yankees, not really that interested. The Yankees, I mean, they've had a decent offseason. And I'll give them this. The New York Yankees have the best back end of the bullpen in baseball. I mean, that bullpen, Andrew Miller, Dellin Betances, and Aroldis Chapman is incredible. Chapman's going to be the closer, Joe Girardi announced. That's going to be a 7th, 8th, 9th inning that no team wants to face. I mean, you're talking about three closers, basically, for the Yankees. So watch out. I thought they really should trade Andrew Miller and get a bat. But when you think about it, why not have a dominant bullpen when you have a sub-mediocre starting staff with this CeCe Sabathia, who let's hope his alcoholism and his problems drinking are gone in the past. But even if they are, he's still not that good. That's the thing. So there's a lot to worry about with the starters, but the Yankees have the bullpen solid and a decent lineup. Getting older, obviously, very old. If they have to make a run, this is the year to do it because those bats aren't getting any younger. A-Rod's days are coming to an end soon. So this is the year the Yankees have to do it. Right now, I still think the Mets have the edge. I think the Mets are a better team. If they get Cespedes, they definitely are. But right now, just because the Mets have the best rotation in the league with Zach Wheeler as of basically the starter when he comes back, it's going to be hard to stop that rotation. So, you know what? I'm not worried about baseball yet. We still got a month till pitchers and catchers. Hopefully I'll be down in Florida again, March for spring training. February is going to be busy with a trip to hopefully the sixth side on the way. So what else we got on the table? We got the Knicks and Nets, of course, as we talk about the sixth side. The Knicks 20-22, 2.5 out of the playoffs. The Eastern Conference has improved this year. I mean, the 9 seeds is a game over 500. Yippity-doo-dah, yippity-day. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. The Eastern Conference. Relevancy at its best. The Knicks are the 11th seed behind Washington and Orlando. How about the Orlando Magic? A game out of the playoffs at 20-19. So Cleveland, Toronto, Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, Indiana, Detroit, Boston is your 1-8 in the East. It's pretty much the Cleveland show. And I'm not talking about the cartoon that you watched. By the way, another entertaining interview we did on a side note. Gregory Jabbar of Blue Bloods also was a voiceover in the Cleveland show and Family Guy. One of them, just the fun interviews I've ever done for a guy that I didn't even know coming in. And we just talked for almost an hour about everything. Tom Selleck, sports, acting, his beautiful wife, Tom Glavine getting him tickets to a game, and his wife knew Tom Glavine. So go check that interview out. So it was awesome talking to a guy. We were supposed to potentially be on set. I hate to name drop here, but I got to do it because these names are crazy when he told them. He said, yeah, we're on set this week. You guys should come. We could bring people with Tom Selleck, Whoopi Goldberg, Donnie Wahlberg. But apparently that might not, almost not be happening now. So talk about a tease, man. Whew! That would have, me and Whoopi up on Blue Bloods. I mean, selfie nation. I mean, how are you not going to take a picture with Whoopi? I mean, Whoopi Goldberg, Donnie Wahlberg, Tom Selleck, we're talking about some big names. But it's not happening. Sports Talk 1240. What up, Snapchat? Here till 10 o'clock. Give me a call. Here on AM 1240 WGBB. I should have Snapchatted earlier because now people are going to see that after the show is over. It's the Porzingis show. And what's amazing about the Knicks, it's been all Porzingis. It's like Melo is not even a storyline. Melo battling a sprained ankle now. He hasn't even been a story. It's like when you talk about the Knicks, the only thing anyone says is Porzingis. Porzingod. It's really amazing when you think about it. I mean, when do you see a team that's a couple of games out of the playoffs where the only storyline is a player that was much maligned as a draft pick where Carmelo Anthony even hated and is the only storyline? I mean, how often do you see that, folks? I can't recall more than five or six times where it's so much about one player for a team that's in a playoff race. I mean, that's what I think about. I haven't been so locked into the Knicks because I'm still in transitioning from football to basketball mode. And that transition will probably take place after the AFC and NFC championship because you have that, remember, you have that week break before the Super Bowl, which is my birthday weekend. Man, if someone wants to hook me up with some tickets to San Fran, a flight, hotel, all-inclusive, I'll be there. Radio Row, whatever you got to do, feel free to invite me because I'd love to go my birthday weekend to San Francisco. That would be dope. If you missed the first half of the show, I said the Broncos will beat the Cardinals in the Super Bowl. Bold? Not really. A lot of people may disagree with that, but I just think Peyton Manning and his last hurrah is going to get it done. I think that defense is just too good. So about 10 minutes left in the program here. We're talking Knicks basketball, and the key for the Knicks, if they want to make the playoffs this year, they got to make a trade. And obviously the rumor name has been Brandon Jennings. Will they go get Brandon Jennings? I think you should. Why not? The question is, what do you give up? I would maybe hope that a package of Cleanthony early and a future second-round pick gets it done. We'll see if it does. I think they have to go make a move to show the fans that they're serious about making the playoffs and turning this thing around quick. Because Jose Calderon, what does he do for you? I mean, I couldn't be more wrong about that trade. I thought it was a steal for the Knicks. Jose Calderon has been terrible. I'm not saying Tyson Chandler has been good, but, I mean, Jose Calderon. And my favorite part of that trade was getting rid of Raymond Felton. I just hate Raymond Felton with a passion. He's one of my least favorite athletes in sports. Just everything about him I just don't like. So I think you go out and get a Brandon Jennings. Go do it. Get a point guard. Aaron Aflalo has been solid. He's been a good pickup, but I think the Knicks need help in that backcourt. They need depth. The Knicks aren't that good, let's be honest. They're a decent team who's carried by Porzingis and Melo and Aflalo, three guys, and a bunch of guys around there. Jerry Grant playing decent. Langston Galloway is a great story. But it's a lot of those. It's great stories. Guys who you didn't expect to play well, who are playing well. So I think they got to go out and make a move. We'll see. There's still a month left to the trade deadline. Something may go down when I'm up there on the sixth side. Coming from the sixth side, Drizzy Drake. Shout out Drizzy Drake, number one in the game. But I think the Knicks do have to make a move. Now transitioning to Brooklyn here with about 7 minutes left. The Nets are in complete attempt of a rebuild mode. They fire Lionel Hollins, and sources from the team and reports were saying that not a single player liked Lionel Hollins. It's like that one kid, that one person that you work with or that you know that literally no one likes. Like, maybe that's me. Maybe no one likes me. I don't know. But there's always that one person who's just literally no one likes you. It's like, dude, nobody likes you. Just don't waste your time. And that's apparently what Lionel Hollins was. So Lionel Hollins gone. Tony Brown, no relation to the Brown family here, takes over as head coach. And Billy King was reassigned in the organization. And Billy King really took this franchise from a potential NBA champion to an NBA dampion. I mean, I'm trying to rhyme there. But, I mean, the Nets are in big trouble. Not a bright future. No draft picks. You have to trade Joe Johnson before February, the trade deadline comes. You have to trade him because Joe Johnson is worth almost nothing now. And the more you keep him, the less he'll be worth. So get something for him at this point for a team that needs him, because the money he's owed, if you can get a suitor for him, you got to get rid of him. The question with the Nets will be, will Jerry Colangelo take over as the new GM? That's a rumor. The Nets are interested. Will John Calipari come? He's not. I mean, John Calipari says it, and he is the boss man, that he comes from the best job in the world at Kentucky. So why would he leave? To take on the debacle that is the Nets. And who knows that he'll keep it past the year. Because with the way coaches are going now, it's like every coach gets the blame, even if the team sucks. I mean, it seems like in Lionel Hollins' case, that players actually didn't like him, and that actually made more sense. He was just not successful at all. But with a lot of these NFL coaches and stuff, I didn't think Lovie Smith needed to be fired, honestly. I didn't think Coughlin needed to. I think that was more just a shifting of the torch, and the time had come to move on. But just some coaches just get the slack for everything, and that's just how it goes in sports. It's just like you get the warmer side of the pillow. You don't get the cooler side. So the Nets' future really is kind of a debacle. 4 minutes left in the program. Who knows what's going to happen? The Nets, I just can't predict the future. I just can't do it. I'm not Cleo. I'm not Vegas Dave, one of the top sporting betting experts in the nation. I can't predict the future and tell you that the Nets, like Mikhail Prokhorov said, are going to be a championship team, because I just don't see anywhere near a championship team. And my God, Brandon, Scoop has been calling me out all damn weekend about not seeing Coming to America, the movie Coming to America. And I got the worst tweet ever. We had a guest who is blind who tweets me, "Jake, I'm blind, and I've seen Coming to America." That's like when they hit you with the Stevie Wonder line. I mean, I got a blind guy telling me that I didn't see Coming to America. I'm like, damn, that's a new blow. And shout out to all the blind people, because I guess, I don't know how he saw it, he was blind, but apparently he saw the movie, and I haven't. So I need to see it, I understand, but I got to call out Scoop for this. This guy, Scoop, said that the Nets were going to be a playoff team. I'm going to take a sip of water and call out Scoop for thinking that the Nets would make the playoffs. And Scoop, if you're listening, I don't think you are, but if you're listening, come on, man. Let me take a sip of water in honor of that prediction. He also said that the Ravens were going to win the Super Bowl. So I had to get him back for getting me on this damn Coming to America stuff. I'm sorry I haven't seen the movie. I'm going to try to watch it tomorrow night. But the Nets are not a playoff team. And I've spent way too much time on the Nets with a couple of minutes left in the program even debating it. So the Nets' future is a disaster. The Knicks, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're going to stay relevant and close, which is fine, and just keep seeing Porzingis progress. I'd like to see them get that 8 seed because I think they could bring off an interesting playoff series. Won't win, but at least it'll be cool to see Porzingis in a playoff series. And again, that's all I'm talking about, Porzingis. Versace, we stay at the matchup with me in Miami. It's always Porzingis. So the Mets, will they sign Cespedes? I really hope they do. And let's hope the Mets open their pockets and give him maybe 2 years 45 or 3 years 60. I think the most they'll give him is one and an option. But go do it. If you give him 1 year, that gives him incentive to make more money next year and prove people wrong and these doubters because you thought he would have been signed right now. So give him 1 year, $22, $23 million, 25. Give him, blow him away, say 25. You had all that money coming from the playoffs, and I talked about it on Arise TV when it happened in my TV debut. I said they had an extra about $20 to $30 million coming in after the MLB took some money in revenue to spend on players, to spend on the stadium, blah, blah, blah. So they have that revenue coming in from that World Series appearance. Go use it. Go get the guy that got you there. The Yankees, why? I said trade Andrew Miller. Keep him. Just go with the best bullpen in the back end of the in the league, better than the Royals. Just go do it. Why not when you have a suspect rotation? A lot coming there. The New York Jets, you know what? I think Ryan Fitzpatrick should play another year as a starter. I think Geno should go. I think you got to go get another quarterback to compete. But I think Ryan Fitzpatrick showed us heart this year. And while it was a lost season for the Jets, and it pisses me off how it went down and how it makes me sick to my stomach that they'd be beat these teams right now, how sloppy these AFC playoff games have been. I honestly think they had a shot to go to the Super Bowl if they just slid in. They didn't. Give Ryan Fitzpatrick another year. Great job by Todd Bowles in his first year. And a hard way to end the Giants. And I didn't even talk about this. Ben McAdoo, I love the guy already. He comes to a press conference with a suit you think was made for the Nutty Professor. Four sizes too big. Gets a four-year deal. He knows the offense. I'm looking forward to seeing the Giants. And I think it was a smart hire with Ben McAdoo. And I'm so glad Tom Coughlin turned on the Eagles' job. I'm going with the Broncos. And I'm going with the Cardinals. And I'm going with the Broncos to beat the Cardinals come Super Bowl on February 7th on CBS. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Check out the podcast of the entire show, whatever you missed, at sportstalk1240.com. It'll be up on jakeryanbrown.com tomorrow. Always check out Brown and Scoop on Play Diet and iTunes. Everyone, have a great Memorial Day weekend. Jake Brown signing out for now. We'll see you next time.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.